right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith, here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John.
Drinking Keith's wife's beer.
John with the emphatic...
Drinking Keith's wife's beer.
Beer tab opening.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Very well.
Because the season has started.
It's started. Wondrous. Who's excited?
Had as good an opening night as I could have.
Yeah? Did you lose all your money gambling or just some of it?
I think just some.
Oh,
good. That's a win.
I think just some.
For our listeners to know, we are having to record this a little earlier in the week than we would like. John is headed out of town for multiple gig. It's got to play some shows. John's a musician.
You know how you guys all like Halloween?
Rears its ugly head.
Well, be in a band and you'll no longer like Halloween. Haven't experienced a Halloween in over 11 years.
Mm. I was in a Halloween band once. And I actually
Shaboy.
Did like it. Shaboy shout out.
Did you?
We might put some Shaboy on the next episode.
One of the shows we're playing is at a climbing center.
Right.
And apparently, whilst we play, they are going to be climbing around us.
Oh.
Covered in highlighter fluid and bathed in black light.
That sounds like a real rocky gig.
It sounds like you should have the very... Ooh. There's Chuck.
It's repellent to me.
Sounds like something that should be filmed at the very least.
They filmed it last year. I don't play our more corp... I don't show our more corporate gigs because it makes me feel like Glenn Fry.
That's pretty funny. Well, all that to say is... We are recording this as NBA Wednesday night is about to kick off. So all those, that's huge slate of games we're also excited about. We're recording it before those happen. So we'll try not to be too focused on the Tuesday opening.
We're calling this show the Overcooked Overreaction Show.
Right.
We respond from one night.
A first night response. But we did want to get something out for you guys this week. So anyway, did you guys have a chance to eat breakfast?
Yeah.
What is it, Chuck? What'd you have?
I went to Tower Deli in East Nashville.
Ooh.
Had me a chopped cheese.
Free shout out.
What's chopped cheese?
Ooh, you don't know about chopped cheese?
Down out about chopped cheese.
So it's a New York bodega special.
Did you mean to get chopped liver?
No, chopped cheese. It's basically ground beef chopped with cheese and onions.
Oh, that kind of sounds awesome.
It's like on a hero.
It sounds like a cheese hash.
Oh, it's so good. It's amazing.
Ground beef hash?
Basically. You just throw it all together on the grill and chop it all up, and you slam it in your face. Great chopped cheese breakfast sandwich from Tower Deli.
I've never even heard of Tower Deli.
It's regularly gross, but they make an approximation of a New York bodega breakfast sandwich that I enjoy.
I'll check that out. I have a greater leeway on breakfast foods. I don't know if that's typical.
You should hold your standards higher.
I really don't.
For the sake of the podcast.
Well, I know.
Don't you like sometimes punish yourself with like grape nuts and the like?
Wide berth. You know, I don't hate grape nuts, even though they feel like...
What's wrong with you?
Just eat some gravel.
No, it might be like the self-flagellation part of it.
Absolutely.
Where I'm like, I deserve to have this this gravel in my mouth.
Yeah, right. I think that's true.
I see that.
So then at the very end, when it finally softens, I'm like, see, the world's not all terrible.
It's the same reason. The same reason you have that mustache.
Yeah. More, sir. May I have some more, please.
What'd you have, John?
And then you go live with Fagin and the Artful Dodger.
Who? They're remaking Oliver Twist with like Ice Cube or something.
Ice Cube Jr.
I thought it was Russell Brand.
Is Russell Brand in it too?
God, just saying the words Russell Brand and infuriates me. He's worse than Rush Limbaull.
What'd you have for breakfast, John?
Guess.
That beer.
Correct.
It's really late in the day.
I just ate my first meal of the day about 40 minutes ago. Had some delicious, you can bleep this out, Martin's barbecue.
Oh, no. Martin's is a fan of the show.
Oh, good. Okay, right on. We
fan
can
of
that.
The show. They leave our flyers up year-round.
Best barbecue in Nashville. They have lots of pictures of wrestlers and Atlanta Braves, so I love that place.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was my breakfast at 5-ish, 4:30,
5-ish.
What'd you go with?
A pulled pork sandwich?
Well, I had just gotten done with a session, so me and the two guys we messed around on songs with, we had an entire $23 4-pound rack of ribs.
Ooh.
That we ate with our fingers.
It's not bad. You shared that three-way?
Balanced, yep.
That's not overeating.
It's not gay if it's in a three-way.
Yeah. Do you know what my favorite thing, and it's the dumbest thing for me to say, but my favorite thing at Martin's is their pimento cheese sandwich.
I was about to say, it's a pimento cheese sandwich. It's amazing.
So good.
Well, like, they're secretly...
White bread.
This is a huge commercial for Martin's, but it's okay, again.
Sorry, let's get them.
They fly our flyer year-round.
Year-round. They're just too lazy to remove it.
That too. as a barbecue joint... Hamburger, awesome. Chicken tenders, awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of the best restaurants in town.
Yeah, it's a good place to eat food.
So. Back on point, though.
Yeah.
I've started because renovating my duplex music career is awful. Started working at nights again. I'm a local neighborhood bartender out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Which is, you don't stay up that late, but it still just makes you really tired. So breakfast has just gone out the window. I need I need our listeners to pick me up. I'm gonna start doing breakfast again, but I need some suggestions from the Twitterati.
Uber eats food to John.
A lot.
So he doesn't have to get out of bed.
A lot. I use Uber Eats a lot.
I don't think it's just local bartending that makes you tired. I think it's working.
Yeah, John,
working
really
makes,
like
makes
labor.
Me tired.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes you tired. Like, this is why we podcast.
You're probably
and
right.
This podcast work does not make money.
No.
as you may know from our recent Patreon launch, like, and thanks to everyone who's done that.
Well, yeah, shout out everybody. Yeah,
very heartwarming.
Thank you guys. It's incredible.
It's been fun. But anyway, so yeah, so I understand being a little tired. My breakfast was again a bleary eyed with the son eating his leftovers. So again, healthy. Some chopped up, not chopped cheese.
Mm.
Just some, you know, fruit, some apples, some grapes.
When he diuretics.
He goes to daycare and they have a rule that you have to chop up grapes. I guess they probably had an incident.
What in the world?
They had an incident at some point with
a throat hole
with larger grapes. So yeah.
Esophageal blackage.
Right. Yeah. So I had some of that. All right. Well, those were our breakfasts. After our breakfasts, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Well, last week on our over-unders episode, I decided to solidify in my vote the Cavs under of 57 games. And it was it 57? Something like that.
I think it was under 57, and you made it unanimous.
It unanimous, which is a huge deal on our podcast, which means we're going to have to bet on that. And after last night.
Let's go ahead and let's tell the truth.
What?
Only one of us.
Well, only one of us is a degenerate.
Oh, yeah. John did.
No, Chuck and I don't honestly know how to place a bet.
I tried.
I
reached out and I said, do you guys want me to place these bets for you?
Here's the thing. When John,
and they stalled.
Well, you said, give me $3,200. No, not going to happen.
That's not true. I said I can get us a line of credit.
Oh, well.
That was my man named Pickle.
That was my point. Yeah, that was going to be my point, Chuck. When John texts, is like, hey, you guys, I can get a line of credit. Just send me some money.
No, not send me money. Just do you want to place the bets?
Yeah.
That's what line of credit means.
It is a line of credit for a whole season, and I don't know if I want to live with that. That specter hanging over my head from Pickle.
But anyway, you did curse John.
I did.
Into the specter.
He now had to bet what I said.
When we get to Cream of Wheat, I can help dispel this a little bit.
Okay.
Well, don't look too much into the Cavs' first game.
Well, so my apology is very similar, again, going back to our show where I was touting. We were touting ourselves as a touting site.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go 3 for 3 like Reggie Miller.
I repeatedly, annoyingly, stated the number that we were 21-4 when unanimous for the last 2 years. This is a lesson to you, boys and girls. I was false. So I know you're
someone out there.
Can you state the actual number?
So your over and under bets you've already placed, but let this be a lesson. Do not trust what people. No, but here's the thing: we were 20-4. Well, it was only 20-4. I threw an extra one on there accidentally. So if only hitting 83% of the bets is not enough. You thought we were hitting 85. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bad.
You're still going to be okay.
But I did say it a couple times.
Just remember,
so that's my bad.
Is bad for you.
I apologize. But again, don't trust what you hear. What you got anything to apologize for, John?
Yeah, I apologize for switching up on that Pelicans over-under. I thought Buddy Hield was going to be a thing, and it looks like Buddy Hield's not even going to start.
Oh, yeah. No, well, they actually announced that.
Like a
couple weeks ago.
Whoopsie.
Should have checked into that before all calling up Pickle with that money.
Yeah, I got excited. I had a touch of Buddy Mania, but it looks like he's going to be kind of like not the instant scorer we thought he would be.
Yeah.
After that, I took Tim Frazier in a fantasy auction. So that was really fun to do. It always feels good when you're taking like the guy who sounds like your phys ed teacher in a fantasy draft.
My hope is that Buddy turns into a thing and we can call him Buddy Christ. And that would be the best.
Oh, is that a dogma joke?
Dogma joke.
Oh.
the Jesus with the thumbs up. Real happy.
Well, that's a good place to end our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. Fan Essentials is a subscription service that will send you gear every month for your favorite team, and that's NBA or NFL teams. They also have some college teams and some baseball teams. If you use the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, you get 30% off your order, and we get a couple of bucks. Also, if you write us an iTunes review, we are going to select a winner among our iTunes reviews for the month of October. So you have like 5 more days or so to write an iTunes review, and we will pick a winner among those people who wrote reviews in October. Or if you like to pay for your things like an honest American, go to fanessentials.net, get all the essentials you need. Also want to tell you guys that we recently launched, as we talked about earlier, a Patreon. And just go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast or go to our new website, fastbreakbreakfastpodcast.com. We like the interaction we've already had. We didn't know what to expect. And so thanks a lot to the people who have already reached out and supported us. I'll tell you one thing I really liked, John, is the Slack channel. I only got to jump on there a little bit on opening night.
I spent most of the evening with those gentlemen.
Yeah, so just we have a chat open with all our Patreon people, where you can interact with us and watch games, and it's a lot of fun.
The Fantasy League is almost full.
Oh, yeah, and if you want to join the Fantasy League, we have a level where you get to join the Fantasy League that'll start in a couple weeks. So check out patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. All right, steak and eggs, best thing. What's your best thing from the last week, gentlemen?
The one and only Joel Embiid.
Oh, the best.
He said recently in an interview, "You want to know where I learned how to shoot? White people. Just watching regular white people. You can find videos of them online." It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And
for a moment there, I thought you'd gone whole like Huey Newton and it's like, "You want to know what I want to shoot? White people." I was still down with it though.
Yeah. I mean, white people are awful. Shout sure out all our sure white are. White people listeners. Yeah, yeah. Who are basically all podcast listeners.
Shout out, audience.
Yes, and us. But, Joel Embiid just being completely, and just ridiculously unaware of what racial words mean in the NBA. But it's
refreshing.
Weird.
It's zesty.
Funny.
It's like having a sip of Fresca.
I see the immediate snapback reactions.
How about a Fresca?
Can you imagine if a a white guy said,
who cares?
He didn't. It was just.
Is that
fine.
A Rush Limbaugh callback?
It is.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring this full circle. My steak and eggs best thing. There's a lot to choose from. One was almost going to be just the way Carl Anthony Towns wrapped up the preseason.
Oof.
Almost making me want to apologize for taking the Timberwolves under. I'm now terrified.
Please, Lord, we weren't unanimous on that, were we?
No,
I don't think so. He scored 25 points on Marc Gasol without even trying.
Yeah,
and then he threw together like a kick out to the corner, an and-one runner in the lane, and then like a step back 20 footer in his final preseason game, all in the span of like 3 possessions.
He's in his second year, and he was in my last fantasy auction, was the number one guy gone over the likes of LeBron, Steph Curry, et cetera, et cetera.
That might be excessive, but still, it's exciting.
It just shows you his footprint.
But my best thing, it's got to be, there was some surprising cut downs in the NBA.
Sure were.
For final rosters, but my best thing.
Not Lance.
No offense, Alonzo G. I like you just fine. But I am happy that Born Ready is still in the league.
Got me doing my Stevie Wonder dance.
I don't know how much he's going to play alongside Buddy Mania, but just the fact that he's on that roster makes me happy. I wish good things for him. So glad he's still around.
Oh, Born Ready. I'm just going to follow him back on Snapchat now. Now that he's no longer just going to Hooters.
His social media is so boring.
He's going to be going to Harrah's.
I tell you what, though. I had to unfollow him on Snapchat because all he did was post videos of him shooting jumpers for 8 hours a day. So if that is any indication of his progression as
a
player.
He's a Snapchat Luddite.
He is.
Steak and eggs for me. Normally, because if it was just one play, I wouldn't give it to him. First night. But Jonathan Simmons on the offensive and defensive end.
Go Simmons.
Plays of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Dunking on JaVale and swatting Steph Curry on the other end.
And I would even throw in the buzzer beaters, the first and second quarter buzzer beaters.
Look good.
They were just both just like, you don't expect Jonathan Simmons to beat you.
D-League superstar turned opening night superstar. Very heartwarming.
He didn't even have his name in the summer league program the first time I saw him play because he was a late addition.
Yeah, he was a tryout
guy. On the team. Watching that with Patreon producer Damon Rangula, dubbed him Ghost Simmons. Didn't know where he came from.
He, but is it at all surprising that Coach Popovich has literally created another superstar monster type role player? Not superstar, but a monster role player for that team. It's just consistently he's done that over time. Danny Green, Sean Elliott, no.
It was a very strange night, gentlemen, but we'll get to that once we get to our waffle house portion.
Let's do our, let's opposite of steak and eggs. Cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing we saw in the last week?
Well, let me dispel some of Chuck's apology.
Yeah,
I know we all thought that the Cavs looked unbeatable, but let's talk about how eminently beatable the Knicks appear to be.
Yeah. Not great.
This comes from a power listener and producer, Chris Howell, pointed out in our Slack chat, Patreon Slack chat, a guy named Mike Adams tweeted out, Knicks put Anthony and Rose around Porzingis. He took two shots off passes from them. Those two shot 35 times, 27 of them not following a pass. What in the hell is going on in New York?
Well,
I mean, what we thought, Phil Jackson does not watch basketball.
And Porzingis still probably had the best game of anyone on the Knicks. It's just like totally... One of my favorite things was watching last night on Twitter. Every other tweet was people talking about Derrick Rose not being good.
Right.
And it became a critical mass.
Yeah.
There was not a basketball tweet during halftime of the Knicks-Cavs game that wasn't about Derrick Rose not being good.
He looked like garbage.
Yep. And point of order, that's Micah Adams, ESPN researcher. Yeah. All right. I thought you just said Mike. I don't want to get him wrong if he hates being called Mike or something.
I feel like most Twitter NBA Twitter fans know Mike Adams at this point.
Yeah. But the thing with the Knicks, if the fans are jumping ship now, you wonder how great it's going to be when they start losing by 40. like it's going to be incredible when the real team that they were supposed to lose to, I saw the internet explode. Like Facebook and Twitter, all Knicks fans just heads in their hands, angry. It's going to be a fun season.
They seem exceedingly poor.
I mean, especially like there's no baseball that makes it. You can't distract from the Knicks sucking. The Giants aren't good. The Jets aren't good.
Well,
it's just going to be all Knicks sucking for a whole year with New York media around them.
A lot. I mean, not all Knicks fans, but a lot of Knicks fans have gotten hyped up about this year. We brought in a good team.
Well, they put on all those ancient Band-Aids.
Right. Anyway, my worst thing will be brief. It'll just be the continuing disaster that is League Pass. Once again, opening night, it's like, is this going to work?
Nope.
It's mine worked.
Like, it works on some devices. It works on, when I watch it on my browser, on my MacBook, when it gets to a commercial, it freezes. You have to reboot it on the Amazon Fire Player. Doesn't work at all.
And you were kind of we'll do a peer into our lives. Keith skipped opening night. He went on a date.
I kind of skipped opening night. I don't know if a lot of you married people like it's kind.
I understand
of,
this though because you were bidding like, your wife adieu.
So like on Monday night, I actually had a fantasy draft. So like the night before, and then it was like Tuesday night was opening night. It's like, got a babysitter. We could go because if there's only a few games on, that's manageable with DVR. You can watch that all later. No big deal. So it was a perfect setup for just like three games doing this great. And so, we had a nice dinner and then came home watching and I was trying to get, I had the one game, the TNT games were DVR'd. Then I was trying to put on the other TV, the Amazon Fire Player to watch the Utah Blazers. It wouldn't work. So
that game was phenomenal.
League Pass. Wow, what a nightmare. Yeah.
Once again, maybe you'll get a free iPad out of this one. Let's hope.
I think you need to shoot for like larger things. Maybe get another Hyundai Elantra.
Mm. Oh, shout out Hyundai, a special official sponsor of the NBA.
Hyundai,
not me.
10-year, 10,000-mile warranty.
Is that real?
100,000. Sorry.
Wow,
crazy.
Now that seems more normal.
So here's my worst: Cavs ring ceremony for obvious reasons.
Garbage.
Your favorite player, LeBron,
made me upset.
I mean, your jilted, scorned ex lover.
The Cavs decided to hand out virtual rings to the people in the audience.
People. Were they like light up?
Yeah, no. So this is how it worked.
I didn't even see this.
So it was a silicone band ring that when you put it on, then downloaded the Cavs app and took a picture of your hand. It looked like there was a ring there. It allowed it to be.
Come on, that's pretty cool.
No, it's not.
That's pretty cool.
No, San Antonio.
Come on, that's pretty cool.
San Antonio gave out real rings. 2 years ago.
I think I'd rather have the virtual ring experience.
Hey, Chuck, what you got to do is this is on you. You should have hacked it. You should have hacked it. So
R.I.P. WikiLeaks founder.
So when like they took the photo of it, instead of the being the ring, it just said like predatory lending.
I'd just say just be Chuck's balls.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, if any of our listeners out there have access to one of these rings, send it to me so I could put it on my genitals.
Chuck will Photoshop that, the mother.
That might be.
He has underrated skills.
I don't know where to put that request.
Well, just put it into the ether.
I'm glad the LeBron hate's never going to die.
Is that a Craigslist, maybe?
Yeah, casual encounter.
Keith, here's how. So we just redid our website for the whole thing. Here's how I'll know when Chuck has actually looked at it. When he notices in his bio that I listed his favorite player as LeBron James, and or he complains that he looks fat in his picture that I have to use.
Well, I was going to point out that I...
Now he's about to go look.
About to look.
I was going to point out, on our website, you said I look like Luigi Dottome, which I kind of do, but Sergio Rodriguez is my man.
I think you have a self-inflated opinion.
You can look at... I've put on like the dead on face. I mean, I don't think Sergio Rodriguez gets a lot of.
Here's
like,
the deal. Even though Sergio's back in the league, I think he's beyond the pale on references. So I actually thought about Sergio. I think Gigi Dottome stuck with the people a little bit.
I don't. Well, that would be who are you more aware of? That would be a good survey.
I'm going to upgrade it every year.
All right.
So we'll see how it goes.
That's pretty good. All right. So for now, for our scattered, smothered, covered thoughts, which I haven't said that phrase in a long time. We're going to do our predictions for the season, actually probably seasoned with those few three games that we got to see. Mm-hmm. Predictions for the season on the major awards. So to dive right in, who are your preseason picks for? Who's going to win this MVP? We kind of alit upon it during the Futures Prop Bets podcast, right. But who do you think is going to win the MVP this year? It's a wide open race.
Well, allow me to extend an overcooked overreaction.
Right.
After one game.
So after one game.
Kawhi Leonard looked terrifying.
Looks very good.
He looked great.
I mean, if he continues to play like that, and then, I mean, I'm still kind of all aboard Keith's Kevin Durant train.
Yep.
And that wasn't, but you know, he had a pretty good game. That's the thing that people are overlooking is the Warriors' offense in that first game was unbelievable, and they still lost. We got an offensive explosion out of two of the three games, so it was a great opening night, but that Kawhi performance seemed to, like, you know, portend greater things to come.
So you think based on one game, you feel like you would think it's leaning towards Kawhi?
I just was, you know, I'm doing the overly Baylisian hot take, but I was really impressed with how he was used within the offense. And to me seemed like, I was a little worried it'd be more like LaMarcus and company, and he would just kind of be hot some nights, not hot other nights. But if it keeps going like that, I think it makes Kawhi still a really interesting option. I also like James Harden quite a bit.
Yeah, I think the James Harden pick is the fun one because I think he could put up all those numbers, like
right.
Maybe approach double digits in assists. I'm still, my preseason one, I still think Kevin Durant was my pick. And the logic being, I don't think they'll give it to Curry 3 years in a row.
The logic was so strong, I put money there.
And so, you know, I didn't see anything on opening night where I'm like, okay. I mean, like, they bother me. I'm like, this could do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's blocking shots, he's getting rebounds, so... I think if they end up winning all the games, we think they're going to win. So I still think, you know, I'm leaning towards Kevin Durant, and I like the fact that he was 8-1, 10-1. It's gone down some, but
yeah,
I still like Kevin Durant for it.
So here's mine. One game. Guy got a triple-double. This is in no way, shape, or form a reverse jinx. But LeBron James, let's say.
Got it quickly, too.
In this crazy world, I know. In this crazy scenario that LeBron plays 75 games. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That under was so ill-advised.
And they end up just kind of crushing everybody by way of just being that confident team that just won a ring. I think you can see him easily averaging 28, 8-9, having the best or second best record in the league and having pretty much no debate as to whether or not he's the best player.
I think LeBron James might, if he's aware, and he's a pretty aware guy, I think he might be aware that an MVP is available.
Right.
Like, there's other years where it's like kind of like, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not going to get, like, I feel like Steph Curry's maybe in that boat.
Right.
But
he doesn't have train wreck to promote this summer either.
But so. It's... I think LeBron is new like, goals. You know what? If I play 74 games and I put up, if I put up by 26-8-8 mm-hmm. or whatever it is, 26-8-6 or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think he could win it. So I think LeBron's is definitely a great option. Yeah. And I don't know if are there any dark horses that we feel might have a legit chance. And I'm not just talking about like a gambling chance. So for me, Kawhi is more of the dark horse.
Yeah, that's my
guy. And again,
guy.
We're focusing more on the Tuesday night opening night performance where it's like, oh, maybe
I think if
he's
the
a legit.
Timberwolves make the playoffs, you'd have to look at Karl Anthony Towns.
I think.
But you got to.
I'm
gotta
one over based on
four.
Some of that.
You got to have a four seed or better. And I think they're going to sneak in. You know,
I don't know. Him being a second year player, that like that's the only narrative I could see.
I can see him getting votes.
Yeah.
If they make the playoffs, there's no way he wins unless they turn into
a juggernaut. I mean, if he
does
what he was doing in the preseason, which is like if he's shooting 90%, like last year he shot almost 90% free throws, and he's, I don't know. I think I do. I am starting to see it that, John, that like a Karl Anthony Towns could win it even if they're a lower seed. Something really random.
But the Kawhi thing, I think this has almost been, you know, years in the making of him being groomed to become the superstar on the team.
Oh, this could be a pop, you know, something he wants to do.
Yeah. Right.
And that could spell trouble for us.
Yep. Right.
Because you guys recall when he kind of wanted Duncan to be like the next level guy, like when he wanted to assume the mantle of star player, he really pushed him not only in how he played him, but also in interviews. And
right.
I mean, Pop's kind of a savvy media manipulator.
He really is. He told Steve Kerr to go piss in a bucket this week. So
I hope Keith bleeps out piss, so then people think that piss is something that is
good. I'm gonna bleep out bucket, so it just sounds even dirtier. All right. Rookie of the year, Ben Simmons, who was the prohibitive favorite in our prop. Although I've heard floated out there, what if
he's
he returns in January? Will he play enough games to still get it? So anyway,
floated.
So now Rookie of the Year is a very wide open race.
Not really.
Who do you guys got?
Chuck, you want to handle this one?
You know,
it's the white supremacist Joel Embiid.
It could be Joel Embiid. I think Joel Embiid's looking good if he stays healthy.
I don't think he's going to play.
You don't think so? He's going to get.
He's probably not even the best guy off his own team. Dario Saric probably is.
As I talk right now, Joel Embiid is playing his first basketball game, 852 days after he was drafted,
right.
Or something.
But drafted as a hurt.
He hasn't played 852 games.
Days. I saw him do a flat-footed windmill and warm-ups after dancing.
I saw Jan Leon school a chair, although that's been erased from the internet.
Has it?
And from the league. He asked for his release.
That's been the Mandela effect thing.
Really?
Where we all remember the scouting video of Jan Leon schooling a chair. It's not out there.
That's because he did
like you can't
11.
Find it.
He did 9/11.
No, I think the Chinese government took it down.
The Bilderberg group.
Much like the Chinese government tried to take down Stromal Swift destroying Yao Ming. There's only one grainy image of it on YouTube. And it's like a TNT game.
What kind of temperature it takes to melt a steel chair? Do you have any idea? So Chuck, who are you going with really?
But so who do you think? Don't give me this narrative.
I think who do you want? I think if Chris Dunn turns if Chris Dunn turns into a really big role player on a playoff team, you're not going to deny him.
Are you worried about him not being able to shoot at all?
I don't think he needs to. I think he needs to play crazy defense.
You're giving him that Michael Carter Williams vote.
He's going to have a ridiculous amount of space on the floor with Towns bringing every big man to the 3-point line. I think he's just going to be highlight after highlight, and he's been that.
Give him that Jackie Joyner Kersey vote. Harry Dean Stanton vote. I like, here's mine, Jamal Murray.
Okay.
He's going to play. I think he can shoot enough, do enough defensively to where he can steal this thing. I mean, I know that's very boring.
I really can't make up my mind. I almost think that despite all the talk of Brandon Ingram being brought along very slowly, they're going to be bad. And I think he's going to work his way into the season.
That front court's too crowded.
They're such a huge market. I think they're going to win a handful of games. Like people are going to start feeling fondly about
I like the market approach.
Like the feel good. Luke Walton's got them all loving each other, and there's just a good aura around the team.
They're just going to keep on trucking.
And I feel like maybe the last 2 months of the season, he starts putting up like 20 points a game or something. And so I'm so nervous about Embiid's health. I don't feel like Saric is going to put up enough stats that are sexy enough to do it. Chris Dunn has looked like, maybe not.
What do you think about one of the Hernan Gomez twins swooping in?
Zero chance.
0.0.
So I think I'll go with Brandon Ingram. I don't know.
Wow.
That might be totally wild. He might get eight minutes a game.
I think that's pretty wild.
My long shot, Wade Baldwin 4, just because I thought the minutes would be available.
Christ on the cross.
Now they've... apparently they're trying to fix his shot. Changes the shooting motion.
He's an honorary Harrison twin.
That's according to Locked On Grizzlies. So.
That's not great.
All right. So who's your final pick, John?
Jamal Murray.
I like it.
I hate to leave Buddy out in the cold, but my weeks old intel is well messing with me.
I think Buddy Hield has. It'd be remiss not to say him because
he's the favorite.
He has the biggest opportunity. Yeah. Jamal Murray has his opportunity right now if he can seize it and never give it back to Gary Harris. But Gary Harris is a pretty decent player, so it's going to be tough. And Will Barton is there for minutes.
We made fun of Joel Embiid a lot, but if he can be the type of player that they seem to have a lot of faith behind, it could just be his for the taking.
Yeah.
Yep. Coach of the year. Who do you got for coach of the year, which is always given to, don't be deceived, it's rarely given to the best coach. It's given to the team that we think is going to stink and normally ends up being pretty good.
Yeah.
So, or just the best team by far.
Or just a team that wins 73 games.
Yeah.
Even if one guy did 31 of those wins. And we just ignore that.
Well, this isn't a team that stunk by any measure. But I think they'll make yet another leap, and I'm going to go with Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics.
I think he might be the favorite. Is he the favorite?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers at all.
Yeah,
I have two other candidates that I'll wait until you guys are done, just in case you say them. But I think Brad Stevens has kind of been waiting in the wings for it already.
I agree.
So it's just kind of his turn.
Yeah, I think if he hits that, if he hits like 55 games,
yeah.
So they'll because everyone is so enamored with what he's done, you know, the last couple of years with them seeming like they're outperforming their talent level,
right.
And so now it's like they think their talent level's up if they keep the progression. I think
I really look forward to seeing what he can do with a guy like Al Horford in his front court.
I could see Popovich getting another one post Duncan. If they end up becoming number one seed in the West.
I mean, I think it's hard to argue with this.
I mean,
if they're number one seed, I think you're right, Chuck.
Yeah. And I think they've, you know, last night showed that they can game plan Golden State enough to win the, you know, season series against them. And if that's the case, then they have a chance. I think they're gunning hard for home court.
I hate to go back to last night, but what a weird night of basketball.
It was.
Don't even understand what happened. How can a team shoot that well and lose by 30?
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
How can the Jazz almost beat the Blazers when the Blazers had another historic shooting night? It's just madness.
It's all statistical aberrations.
It's back, boys.
It's back.
We're back.
I got a wild one. Yep. Coach of the year. I think Frank Vogel's got a shot.
Mm. Ooh.
If that team is good.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Why not? I think that's
They've
great.
Been horrible. If just acquiring Vogel and he turns them into a defensive team and they win 48 games.
Yeah.
Seems like, oh. And that, of course, assumes the Spurs aren't the number one seed in the West, because I think that'll be hard to overcome that. I think that for me, that's a weird one. That's a team where, like, you know, we're not expecting a ton.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere else, it's like there's so much expectation. It's like if there is a team out there that makes a leap, and I don't know who that would be. It's like if the Nuggets get good or something, like if they become the big surprise 50-win team.
You know, I could see Nate McMillan if the Pacers do well.
That would, man.
Can we talk about the
what
Nate
if the
McMillan?
Race came down to Nate McMillan and Frank Vogel?
That'd be great.
That would be so exciting for two franchises no one likes.
What a tangled web you weave. So I'm reading about Nate McMillan installing this 14-second shot clock, et cetera, et cetera. Isn't he historically really a slow coach? Is he trying to completely change what he's doing?
This is spin? This is spin. I put on 15 pounds of muscle. This is.
Okay, that's good enough.
Yeah.
I love that Pacers under.
You did.
You loved it hard.
You don't believe in Larry Legend.
All right. So moving on to.
Can I do some dark horses?
I'm sorry. Yes. Dark horses from John for Coach of the Year.
Very briefly.
Yeah.
Luke Walton doesn't have to win that many games to win this.
Yeah.
Because he's in LA.
Yep.
Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, Mike D'Antoni. That's a great one.
What if the Rockets are awesome?
That's a really good one. I love that one. I might favor that one over my Vogel.
I was very torn between the Stevens, which seems like such a lock, and then I'm so excited because I think D'Antoni could just run away with it.
Right, because I talked about the Rockets as being, for me, one of the high variance teams. I predicted them to win 41 games, but I could see them winning 58 games.
Right.
Because 2 years ago, they won however many they won. They won a ton. Made the Western Conference Finals. And if they just bounce all the way back with their... And it is. If it's done on D'Antoni ball, scoring 120 points a game. Yeah.
Murder face Snyder. That's another. Yep.
They've got to be real good.
They can be, you know, and they're a team that's kind of
he
trending
has,
up.
Jazz have Murderface Quinn Snyder has the coach of the year or fired.
Yeah, that's the
might be his options.
Right. Oh, they looked so good last night, so good.
All right, moving on to the six man, which is always the weird. Like, we could guess what we think it'll be, but I hate the way the rule or how it's given out. Mm-hmm. It's like which all-star now plays off the bench.
Right.
I like giving it to the person who's like, who's not good enough to be a starter, mm-hmm. but is still changes the games in a very positive way.
Yeah.
So that's hard, and it's a big wide open category. So.
And yeah, we're not going to know who's starting now at the end of the year.
And there's a lot of guys where we're not really sure.
Right.
So what do you guys think? There's the big name ones.
Iggy.
Iguodala always. Zebo going to the bench.
Jamal Crawford.
They just give it to Jamal Crawford every year, even if he's measurably not good.
Right. By all effective statistical analysis. This is a hard one when you got the team and the Warriors. You're probably going to have Iggy coming off the bench and leading that bench. I even could see Livingston maybe getting it if he ends up spearheading there.
I mean, if he ends up
second
unit. Boring me to sleep, and then you woke me up.
Well, yeah. Well, Livingston, didn't he finish relatively high last year?
He may have. I don't recall. But yeah, I could see that for sure happening, with one of those two players, because it's just going to be the best team probably in
the
league.
He was 11th, so not that high.
So yeah, you could see that happening, and one of those two players is probably, if I got to go with one, is probably going to be a Warrior.
Yeah, like I was really trying to look for something like really kind of off the, I don't know, just like picking out who's bad and might be good, but it's really hard because it's one of those things like last year I thought it was Jeremy, for me personally it was Jeremy Lin, because I don't think he's good enough to be a starter. Sorry, Nets fans,
but
he's a really awesome six man type thing. So yeah, I'm not sure. I almost wonder if one of these rookies could get it. Like, I feel like the door would be open for a Buddy Hield.
Chris Dunn.
It's like, in my mind, there's these rookies coming in who have the opportunity to come off the bench and do these things. And I almost feel like, you know, the fact that the Grizzlies are aiming to give it to Zach Randolph, mm-hmm. even though he doesn't fit my parameters for what I like.
Right. Or the NBA's historically, you know.
No, I mean, they really have. I mean, I liked it when they used to give it to, like, Corliss Williamson again.
Right.
A guy who isn't that
big
great,
nasty.
You know, but recently it has been like, oh, this guy, he was an all-star once, and now he's off the bench.
Right.
Come on, guys. The answers are right in front of you.
What is it, John? Tell it to us.
It's a two-man race between two very different men, Zach Randolph and Enes Kanter.
Mm. Enes Kanter, definitely.
It's a good
Come
one.
On. Zach's coming off the bench. That's a story.
It is.
Enes Kanter puts up ridiculous offensive numbers from the bench, from behind DeMontis Sabonis. Come on. Who's in his way to get these numbers?
It's true.
Let's do it. Those are your guys.
I almost think even Evan...
Biggs off the bench. That's the best players off the bench usually, is your bigs off the bench. Come on.
They're going to get the points. All about the points. Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't even... Yeah, it's such a weird category. I also think Evan Turner might get it, because he is a guy probably not good enough to start. So I like it.
Right.
Coming off the bench in Portland.
You don't want to talk about last night, but he is the worst player ever. A power listener, Matt Sullivan, sent me many vituperative texts about Evan Turner last night. He's so bad.
All right. This is another in the same realm of six man, really hard to nail down, but most improved player, which I think is always a super interesting one, because a lot of times it's a year late.
Right.
You give it to the guy who was actually good last year. So most improved player, who do you think might get that?
Luke Babbitt.
What?
Luke Babbitt starting for the Miami Heat.
I got to be
most improved haircut.
Comeback player of the year. Somewhere. Is he eligible?
I don't even know.
comeback hair of the year. Although Ron Baker for the Knicks is
when you get cut
giving him a white man run for that, like, whatever you call that haircut. It's just the white dude.
I'm more interested in their like
the
overgrown Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
the salmon shorts,
right?
Dude,
the Bama bangs
part.
Bama bangs. That's the John nailed it. John's the more. Yeah,
he's attuned into hair more than me. I have none.
That is true. I am the hairiest on the top, anyways. Who's your real pick, though?
Man, I don't know. This is the hardest one for me.
For me, I want to think it might be. I think a lot of Wolves have an option. Yeah. I feel like they could give it to almost the entire Timberwolves lineup. Like, sometimes you give it to a second-year guy, even though that's really rare. If, like, we talk...
Both of my candidates are second-year guys.
If Karl-Anthony Towns becomes an MVP candidate, he could definitely get this award as well. I think Zach LaVine, who became a competent NBA basketball player last year, well, could get recognized for this year.
I think he gets lost in this Rubio Dunn shuffle.
That he could. Well, I think he's become such a competent, effective scorer that it's like, I feel like he might get some love for it.
I'm just stunned Chuck didn't take the one dangling right before his face.
Justice
Winslow.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to get that much better. He's just such a
he needs to score twice as much.
I agree.
Like, he scored 6 points a game last year.
Because he's already known as, like, a defender. So, if he scores 13, 14 points a game, he could be in the conversation. I like the unshackled D'Angelo Russell.
That's a good one.
Quite a bit.
Second year.
Now that Byron Scott and Nick Young aren't whispering into his ear.
Yeah. That could happen.
Another really obvious one is Dennis Schroeder, because now he gets to play.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry. It won't happen.
Yeah, yeah. Who? Shout out Dennis Schroeder, just signing a 4-year, $70 million extension.
Wise.
Smart on
Wise
him.
Wise for Schroeder.
Before he can blow this up.
Bad on the call train.
It is a... The Hawks are... I guess this is viewed as the safe play.
Hey, if it makes you feel better, he goes out and parties every single night in Atlanta. At Peoples.
I feel like that's...
And he's the only guy on the boring-ass Budenholzer Hawks who does it, so he doesn't fit in with the clubhouse either.
I feel like
all the pieces fit. John.
Kevin Arnovitz was telling us that more people do that than you realize.
Oh, of course.
And the
millionaires
are out every night.
More money than they know what to do with.
It's the pops and the buds of the world who keep it locked down.
Well, and they also stop work at 10 o'clock at night.
Also,
you know what I mean?
I mean, like, Popovich stumbled into a guy whose best player was a dungeon master.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is.
When your leader, when he's saying, hey, guys, come over and we'll roll this 20-sided die.
The one before
instead
him.
Instead of roll these 20 women.
The one before him was a, Navy midshipman.
Yeah.
You know, and now Kawhi Leonard is just a trained assassin who doesn't show emotion. Although,
you want to know why the Orlando Magic didn't win that championship when they had 3D and Shaq and Nick Anderson? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is cocaine. So, I have one crazy one to throw out.
What's your crazy?
You haven't even thrown one out yet, have you?
I think it's going to be Cat. I think he's going to be so good.
I feel like he's jumped too far.
I think he's going to jump so far. But again, that might be the thing where they're like, he's too good.
Like, he's not involved
in I was looking at some of these old most improved players. I like the guys who they won it because they stunned everyone by being not horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bobby Simmons.
Yeah,
for the Clippers back in like this guy's like a borderline. He's like he's a free agent, undrafted free agent. Then 1 year he comes in.
So that actually happened.
And is competent.
Well, I'll be damned.
And you're like, oh, let's give it to him.
Super deep sleeper, Frank, the Steve Dorr Foreman Kaminsky.
He has the opportunity.
Rain in threes.
If the Hornets are good,
Miles Turner. All my guys are second year guys.
They really are. I mean, and you have Devin Booker. You know, like last year's rookie class was so good. That if one of them becomes legit,
I think Devin Booker did too well to win this award.
He did over a stretch.
Yep.
Everyone's memory of Devin Booker is much greater than what his actual numbers were. Although, I mean, he did whatever. He scored 30 points 6 times as an 18-year-old. So that's kind of a thing.
Pretty decent.
That's pretty not bad. All right, finally.
Not bad, Brooke.
Finally, a little more, this is a little more straightforward. Defensive player of the year. This is a little easier to focus in on outside of the six man and most improved.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you guys think is going to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Luke Babbitt. No, I'm going with another Miami Heat player.
Oh, your boy.
Hassan Whiteside. I think
the stats will do it.
I think he's going to have probably 4-point-something blocks a game.
Sheesh.
He is going to affect the basketball on that side of the court tremendously. And I think last year people kind of slept on him, so he's probably going to get a little bit of love if they make the playoffs.
Let's not overlook he'll be doing all of this while not actually being good at defense.
Blocking shots, it's all that matters.
Rebounds are important.
Yeah.
Clearing the glass is a good part of defense.
It is. He does take care of that, and he does affect shots around the rim, and people do have to adjust their game plan when they play Miami. And
just pump fake.
I think Kawhi Leonard is going to win it again. Yeah. I think this is his award, and I feel like as the more he gets good at offense, the more everyone also wants to give him the Defensive Player of the Year award too.
Yeah, that might be what you give him when you can't give him the MVP.
So it makes you feel better. Am I going to do that? But Defensive Player of the Year, definitely give you that.
I agree with Keith. However, I'll throw a few other names out there. Draymond shall be lurking again, and then Rudy Gobert.
Oh, yeah, Rudy Gobert was our pick two years ago. And maybe
he's
the year
never
before.
Going to get it because he plays for Mormons.
Right, but he...
when the Jazz are fourth in the West, maybe that'll be what we get.
If they end up with home court, that's definitely a thing, and if it's based on all their defense, him anchoring that defense. Also, he's not going to win it, but the boy Exum, I will say, I've spoken ill of him before.
Looks great.
He looks great in preseason.
Yeah.
Looks like a really good player.
Rodney Hood was a guy I thought of most approved, but it's such a cluttered.
Really? Yeah, it really is. It's hard to figure out who's going to get the most. I mean, like a man like TJ Warren.
Yeah.
But going back to most improved, it's just opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If this guy averages 16 points a game, a la Bobby Simmons. Shout out Bobby Simmons. Let's get him on the program.
TJ Warren has definitely seemed like a guy who like just needs a place to play.
That can't be that hard. I think Gobert will be up there. I'm really looking forward to Michael Carter, Michael Kidd. I did it every single time. Michael Kidd Gilchrist. I want to see him play a whole year. And everyone is always like, he's like a really tall Tony Allen, but he never ends up playing that many games. Like he never puts it all together.
That's a great pick.
So I would like to see if he could do it from start to finish. Maybe he'll be up there. At least maybe first team all defense.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, we got to get out of here. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Again, check out our Patreon if you guys are interested in interacting with us further. Again, the Fantasy League hasn't filled up. We do want to shout out a couple of guys who have stepped up and contributed. Joshua Herbertson.
Herbertson.
Hey, now. Yeah. Chris Howell.
Big C Howell. Shout out.
Damon Rangula.
Big D.
And Paul Graumans.
Oh.
The Grauminator.
The Grauminator. Hey, shout out all our producers, the people who are showing us love and giving us the support we need to buy better microphones.
Yeah, we need microphones that don't have to live in people's cars and be transported back and forth and things. So, yeah, thanks you guys for supporting it. You guys, check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. Write those iTunes reviews to win free Fan Essentials. Go to fanessentials.net. Hey, check out the Step Back. Stepback.com. I don't know what that is. The Step Back Fan Sided. We're on there now. All right. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.